flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And if you didn't play the whole game, or, you know, kind of, have you talked at all about that yet?
Yeah, you know, you're preparing like I'm a starter. You know, I think I'm going to be the starter, so I'm looking forward to, you know, being out there. And I think, you know, I'm ready to, you know, go out there and win and compete. And in a close game, you know, want to be out there and you get experiences in these close games that, you know, can't replicate in practice. You can't get those reps anywhere else. So look forward to, like I said, get one more chance to these guys and end off on a good note.
How's Drake May yesterday? Preparing like he's a starter.
Yep, play a lot of close games. They learn in these close games.
Hasn't been told he's not the starter. You do learn from all these close games.
Uh-huh.
Alex Van Pelt, who I believe we're going to talk to tomorrow. Final installment of our coordinator series. Billy and Nick both made a face when I said that. You guys aren't his soul. We're going to be getting him tomorrow. He's scheduled to be on. It's part of a Patriots Friday agreement.
All right, more likely.
Yeah.
Alex Van Pelt on the show with us tomorrow.
Yep.
Or Jerod Mayo back next season.
Van Pelt tomorrow, for sure.
Yeah, I think Van Pelt. He did his press conference today.
Yeah.
So I don't see why they wouldn't toss him our way.
We could get the combo of Van Pelt and our friend Dietrich Wise, who was just chastising the fans.
I don't love that.
So that would be quite a Patriots Friday.
Yeah.
We'll find out tomorrow, probably when you all do out there.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for it. It's the final hour, Jones and Keefe. Van Pelt did confirm. Well, confirm's a risky word with this team.
Yeah.
He said that Drake May will start the game, quote-unquote, for sure. Now, he did leave a bit of wiggle room there. He said, we're playing the game to win the game. We'll see how it goes from that point, but yes, that's the intent. So, is there a gray area in what he said? Is Drake May, they're planning on him to play, but he might get ruled out because of the finger injury. There's that.
There's that, yeah.
I think if he's limited at practice, he's probably playing, but maybe there's still that. There's also this other element that the more we talk to Razor, for instance, or even listening to Bill Belichick on the Let's Go podcast. I don't know if you saw this.
No.
But Bill said something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, it's always dangerous with a locker room to say, hey, we're going to protect you over here, but not you guys over there. As Razor said, and it's a different sport, but Drake May's won one game in his life. You're going to give him the game off and put him up on a pedestal and like separate him from the whole rest of the team? So maybe there is a way to middle it where Drake May starts the game. Drake May gets some reps. You play him for a quarter. You play him for a half. And then it's Joe Milton time in the second half. And it's basically a preseason game. And that way you're not separating Drake May from everybody else. You're getting a look at Joe Milton. If anybody even wants a look at Joe Milton.
I'll take a peek.
I would too.
And sure.
Maybe the rest of the league takes a peek. And
why
you can
not
trade him for a fifth round pick or something like that. I don't know.
Let's not go crazy.
Okay, fine. But like maybe there's some there's an element there where it could work out in your favor.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe you just look at him and go, this guy has no shot, and you cut him, and you're not locked into him next year.
No, I do agree that it's a weird thing. It's a weird message to send to the team.
There's a way to balance it, though. It's not just – initially, I came in today even, and I was like, nah, don't even play him. What's the point? Maybe there is value in playing him for a couple of series or a quarter or something like that, and then going into full-on tank mode.
Yeah, and now this team's tank mode might just be their general mode.
That's their default.
His default setting.
That's their factory setting.
Yeah, they're going to lose.
Tank mode.
They've lost more games than anybody else, or as many as everybody else in the entire league. So you don't have to worry about that too much. But yeah, there is a big difference between, hey, you're resting a guy for the first round of the playoffs or whatever. That's different. Because guys know, and I understand what Razor's saying, but guys know who the good players are, who the fighting to stay in the league guys are, and who the guys are in the middle. And so I don't think anybody's like upset that Patrick Mahomes isn't playing this weekend. They all get it. Like, he's more important than the next guy. But a good point by Razor, if you're going to prop up Drake May after 10 games, like, you wouldn't play him for 5 games because apparently he wasn't ready, or the team around him wasn't ready. Then you play, and now you're going to sit him out and then also to announce it all week. So it's like, hey, you get like the week off. Yeah, that's probably not the best way to do it. So you practice him this week like he's preparing for a game, because every rep in that sense matters, right? You're trying to develop Drake May for next year. That's goal number one. Even have him, you know, focused on the Bills, what they did last time against the Bills, looking at that defense. Then even prepare for game day. Here comes game day. Now you're playing. Don't need to play the whole game. Don't need a couple series, that kind of thing. So you're out there, you're playing, you're giving it your try. But also, we're going to kind of maybe reward Joe Milton. Practice all season, hasn't had a chance to get in the games. Now he's going to get a chance to do that. But we're not telling Drake May, hey, you got the week off, like your job's done for the season. We're not doing that either. And maybe that it's an easier sell in the locker room.
No, and maybe there's a way to say, hey, you two scoring drives to start the game, just like they did against Buffalo last time.
Yep.
Two scoring drives to start the game, you're out. Drake May leaves on a high note. You get a look at Joe Milton. I disagree with the Twitch chat again. Like, I think there's value in just seeing what he is in the NFL. Maybe it's nothing. There's value in knowing that it's nothing.
Yeah.
You go, wow, this guy didn't stand a chance against the Bills twos. He's never going to be an NFL quarterback. There's value in finding that out. And maybe there's value in putting some tape on, and there's definitely value in Joe Milton going out there, losing the game, and securing the number one pick.
Yeah.
But the more we talk it out, and I did not come in here today thinking this, the more we talk it out, Drake May should start the game and then get an early exit. He should not play in the second half of the game, but he should start the game. I'm now there. And that is movement from me.
How about that?
How about that?
And then even somebody like, to a lesser degree, friend of the show, Christian Gonzalez, who left last game with a concussion. It didn't practice yesterday with a concussion.
He should not play.
Right.
Yeah.
Simple.
That one makes sense. But and he might also not even be cleared to play. But that also
helps in the tanking. Like, you have a good, really good player who's not playing. Like, you know, you just won't be playing. And there's no excuse. That's the smart decision.
No. So that's a fair point for sure. One thing I want to ask you earlier about before we get to some of these phone calls. Mike Vrabel and his interest in the Patriots job. Does that change your view at all about Mayo and his job security? I know neither of us want him back.
Yeah.
Vrabel is not either of our top choice.
Right.
But not only do the Crafts like Vrabel, but Vrabel is expressing interest in the job. Is that another reason to get them to move off their spot and say, you know what, we were locked into Jerod Mayo, but Vrabel wants the job. He desires the job. We're not a desirous destination, as we found out with coordinators and free agents. So somebody actually wants to be here, and they're accomplished. They've got a winning record. They've been to an AFC title game. They know what it takes to do the job.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jerod, we got to do it.
I think that's really working against Jerod Mayo. You know, and I think Robert Kraft can kind of spin that. I think he also knows Mike Vrabel's very popular around here. And I think that would be... Everybody would, you know, laugh at him for the decision with Mayo. They'd be pissed about it. But then you'd get pretty good response if you brought in Mike Vrabel. And it's somebody, it just feels to me at this stage of his whole career, Robert Kraft would be more likely to bring in somebody that he knows, has a relationship with, than somebody he doesn't. And so I don't know what other coach candidate, like, as much as I want Ben Johnson, who knows if Robert Kraft would even want Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
I think he would want Mike Vrabel. And so, yeah, I think that definitely is a huge factor.
Just reading through Graziano and Fowler, they do like their buzz around the NFL. This feels more like spitballing than anything informed. But the way they phrased it was, what job should Ben Johnson want? And as we know, he's picky and choosy. He passed on jobs last year. Graziano says if New England did come open, And they've kind of suggested all along, Mayo's on the hot seat, but he'll likely survive throughout this story. Just some background. They said if the New England job does come open, might Johnson want to go work with a quarterback in Drake May and a haul of draft picks that the Patriots can likely acquire for this year's number one pick? Johnson has been choosy and made it clear he's not going to leave the excellent situation he's currently in with the Lions for just any old coaching job. It says if he stays put in Detroit for a third year, it could hurt his aspirations long term, blah, 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 blah. He says some of these situations aren't exactly set up. And the point is, the Patriots are set up. They have cap space. They could have a raft of draft picks, and you have the quarterback in place. I wouldn't choose this if I were Ben Johnson.
No,
but
I'd choose it over the Jets and the Saints and some of these other teams. Maybe like I'd hold out hope that the Bengals spins open, or I do think Chicago's a pretty good job if he thinks he can get something out of Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I like Drake May better than Caleb Williams, but I would rather have the Chicago job just because there's so much more there than here. But that's interesting. But yeah, I don't think Vrabel and his situation helps at all.
I think Kraft would much more likely give the job to Vrabel than he would.
Agreed.
And so somebody pointed out, and it's fair, you know, why didn't they hire Vrabel last year? Well, they wrote into Jerod Mayo's contract that he was going to be the coach in waiting. And I think at the time that they did that, they were probably thinking, the Krafts were probably thinking, Vrabel's doing a good job in Tennessee. He's going to stay there. He's only a few years removed from an AFC championship game. So I don't think they thought he was available.
No.
And then they stupidly wrote it into the contract that Mayo would just take over, and then that's what you got.
So they're effectively going to pass on Vrabel twice.
Maybe.
To keep Mayo is effectively what that would be. 617-779-7937. Billy or Nick, can we for some reason, Jim in Upton is frozen on my screen. Can we line him up?
There he goes.
Hello.
What do you got, Jim?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
I was driving along, so I figured I'd stay on and see if I get a chance to get on on the radio. And I got a quick thing. Everybody keeps talking about why would anybody want the Patriots to win on Sunday. Well, you know who would want them to win would be Buffalo, because they're in the same division. So by letting the Patriots win, they know the Patriots get less of a draft pick than they would if the Patriots lose the game.
Okay, interesting scenario. Hadn't
Mind
considered
games.
That. Do you think Buffalo cares?
I think Buffalo's just going to play. They're going to play, and they're
like,
better than
crap.
You.
Elliott Wolf has the number one pick now. The Patriots are cooking. I don't think Buffalo's looking at it that way, but...
Well, because somebody was talking about this
They could care about it, I guess. I wouldn't worry about the Patriots if I were them.
So it ended up... So the Giants beat the Panthers, so this point now is moot. But the Eagles play the Giants this weekend. So the game doesn't mean anything for the Eagles. And it could have meant a lot for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying, but with the Eagles, they lose the game more than you lose the game to prevent you from getting
race to the
Shador Sanders.
Maybe.
That kind of thing.
Yeah,
no,
I think...
But just because it's a division...
If it was for a quarterback, maybe.
No,
I
but
that
would
more.
Be.
That would be. I'm saying so, the Bills and the Patriots,
oh,
that's not
no,
in play.
I don't think they care.
Yeah.
But that is, like, I think, for the fans to think about, like, you know, a divisional matchup and can you set the course of history. But those guys are just going to go out there and play, and everybody who's on the field is going to try to win. Right, it's just how much can the coaches maybe manipulate things if it's close, right? Like
putting Joe Milton in, I think, would manipulate a lot.
Quite a bit.
That's what I think.
Quite a bit, yeah.
And so, again, is there value to getting May out there to start the game? This is, I don't think this text is wrong, 617-779-7937. The Patriots are 100% winning this weekend because the team has screwed up everything else this year. Like, there is an element that, like,
I kind of think they might win.
No, they might win,
yeah.
And they might. It's possible. Here's what happens. This is possible with this team,
yeah.
And the way they screwed things up, they play Drake May. He gets hurt. They still win the game.
Oh yeah,
they screw up
like
their
the Jets game. They win.
They screw it up. They just completely mess it up. I would not rule that out with this team.
Picking fourth with Drake May coming off an ACL, the New England Patriots.
So like that,
they are only 2-point dogs.
They are two and a half point home dogs.
They're 2.5 point home dogs to Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
And the Bills twos.
So that means Josh Allen's worth, what, 12 points or whatever it was?
That's a good
that
point.
Sounds about right.
That is probably right. Yeah.
A dozen points.
How about Brandon in Boston? Hello, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy New Year's. Thank
Happy
you
New Year
for taking my phone call.
Yep.
Hey, thanks. So for me, you know, if I'm Robert Kraft, I'm just looking at this whole thing, and guys are talking about Ray. Wouldn't it be fair to Mayo to fire him, bring in Vrabel so he can just handpick his guys? No, that's not cool. I think Mayo should have a chance to select who he wants on the team. Why would you just fire him and give him the option
well,
to do
hold
that?
Hold on a second. Do you mean, Brandon, real quick, do you mean have Mayo pick the players or have Mayo pick the rest of the coaching
no,
staff?
No, you know, his offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. You're saying bring Vrabel and he can come with his. No, that's not cool. He gets to get fired, but, and then he comes in and hand selects his guys.
But
no,
Brandon,
not,
didn't Mayo have a
cool.
chance to pick his own guys this year, and he landed on Covington and Van Pelt?
I don't think Van was his guy, though.
Who was his guy?
But he doesn't have a guy. I'm with you on this. So,
I think it might have been Nick Caley, but Nick Caley was like, screw you, guys. You got to pay me more.
That, I don't buy that at all. Yeah, like Mayo, I thought he was talking personnel. I didn't realize he was talking coaching at first. So Mayo and Wolf, that was kind of a shotgun thing, or maybe that's not Mayo's guy, and maybe Mayo doesn't have a guy in personnel. Vrabel will. It's not John Robinson. But Vrabel will have a guy in personnel, and if he's...
But he would have more connections, too, for, like, offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, way more.
But Mayo, this gets, I think, glossed over a lot by fans. Mayo had in writing, in his contract for a full year, he was the next head coach. He didn't spend any time thinking about his offensive coordinator, his defensive coordinator, his backup options to who his number one choices would be. He never thought about that in the year in writing that it was in his deal. Never mind that he probably had a good idea before it was in writing. He was the coach in waiting.
Not only that, according to reports, they interviewed all these different guys and really didn't even talk football.
No. Correct.
It was light on football. It was light what the on report football. Was.
They were just in there chit-chatting about God knows what.
You guys think you seen this lighthouse? Like, it's pretty sweet up there.
Not scheme.
Yep.
They were talking everything but football, apparently, in these interviews. So, no, I don't let Mayo off the hook for that. If you want to say he and Wolf, they were kind of paired together, fine. I'll listen to you on that. I don't let him off the hook for the coordinators for exactly what you said. I think Covington was his guy. And I think they tried to bring in one of his guys as coordinator, and he had no ideas when they couldn't get Caley because he has no connections outside of New England in the entire league. None.
No, that I feel like was a problem, and we saw that firsthand. I mean, just look at the whole process. So I don't think year two would be any better for Mayo, as far as bringing in other guys.
If Mayo's back and Alex Van Pelt is, I think Alex Van Pelt is gone. I think that's clear. If Mayo's back, who is the OC? Because the name that
Josh McDaniels
has started to... You think Josh McDaniels?
No, I actually don't. People want him and people have brought him up. But I think McDaniels, not that he's going to go to Carolina, but I think he's more of a Bill guy. I don't think he could work for Kraft again with Mayo and still like have a relationship with Bill Belichick.
No, that's a good point.
So I think
your
people
meal,
would want
your meal ticket's gone.
I don't think that's happening.
No, the way you said it is right. He's more likely to go to UNC than the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe Brian Daboll, if he gets fired from the Giants?
The name that got floated over the weekend and it caught my eye, Chad Graff, The Athletic, Josh McCown. Josh McCown, NFL quarterback.
Not Luke McCown or Randy McCown.
No.
Josh McCown.
I forgot about Randy. You always
Randy
bring
McCown
up Randy McCown.
Texas A&M.
Yeah, nice player.
Flying McCown.
So, he is in Minnesota.
Yeah, this I don't hate this.
Deserves some credit. Not
QB
as much
coach.
As O'Connell, but deserves some credit for what they're doing with Sam Darnold there. I think... Where was he prior to that? I know he interviewed for the Houston head coaching job a few years ago.
Yeah, remember? That was a weird one. Actually, wasn't it like Josh McCown and Gerard Mayo, like 2 or 3 years ago, both got interviews, and you were like, why are these guys getting interviews?
Yeah, so now they'd be a perfect match together. But the real connection with Josh McCown, beyond the work he's done in Minnesota this year, which again, I give O'Connell way more credit, but he deserves some. He coached Drake May in high school. For a year, he was...
How crazy is that?
Yeah, he was like a...
It's like when Bob Tewksbury coached St. Paul's for like three
exactly
practices.
Like that. He was an advisor or an analyst, or I forget the title he had, but right after his playing days, he volunteered at, I think it's Myers Park in Charlotte, where Drake May played as a junior. I think Drake May put up 50 touchdowns and 2 picks that year.
Oh, his kids were on the team. I'm reading it now.
That's
McCown.
It
so McCown served as an assistant coach. He said Myers Park, Charlotte, where his sons Owen and Aiden played. And then he said then he went back to the NFL, I think. And so he kind of moved around a little bit. So I'm not entirely sure how long he was there. But
so there's a connection.
There's an overlap, yeah.
I wouldn't move on from Van Pelt for a guy like McCown. I wouldn't personally. But
what about Daboll?
I think Van Pelt is good. Oh, for Daboll, I would.
Yeah.
I don't know how realistic it is that Daboll would take this job, but Daboll would be an upgrade over Van Pelt. And hopefully they're blowing everything up and thinking bigger. But in the scenario that Mayo's back, which I think we agree is most likely, Van Pelt's not going to be back. So who's the offensive coordinator? Keep an eye on Josh McCown. Bill's in Connecticut. Hello, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Yeah,
you
too.
Happy New Year. Hey, I wanted to throw out something with regards to the Patriots, similar to what the Celtics did a couple of years ago with Brad Stevens. Is it possible that the Patriots could bump Gerard Mayo up into the front office, let Elliott Wolf walk, It saves space for someone like Bob Kraft, and then it gives you the flexibility to bring in someone like a Mike Vrabel to come back in and to coach and to take advantage of his coaching network to rebuild this team. What do you guys think? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
So, to be fair,
Mayo bumps upstairs like Brad Stevens.
I did think it was crazy at the time for Brad Stevens to get bumped up there.
I hated it.
I thought it was so wild, and I thought he'd be coaching in college in a year after that. So I was wrong about that. So I guess
me too.
You know, crazy at first could end up being a really good idea. But
it goes without saying, but Brad Stevens is fantastic at that job.
Yeah.
He's better at that than he is as a coach.
Yeah. But he was also a coach for a while.
Correct.
Like, he had a bunch of seasons, and they really weren't all that bad. And so, like, I think he had more kind of NBA experience that way and maybe knowing what it would take to build a roster than Mayo, who I have no faith in.
Yeah, but I thought that was a way to, you know, keep Brad Stevens employed while he was under contract, which I guess you could say with Mayo as well. I'm not moving Mayo into personnel.
So the Pete Carroll thing, he can go be an advisor.
Advisor, I might do, because that's like a fake title. I wouldn't make him the GM.
Yeah, but even still, it's like you're a failed head coach.
Has, 50 years of coaching experience?
Yeah, in a Super Bowl. Like, Gerard Mayo has 1 3-win season. I don't want him advising anything. Even if that's the title, I don't want, what's that do?
That's a good point. What advising? I mean, I really just think that would be a way to keep him on your payroll when you're already paying him.
Yeah.
That's how I think about it. But if he actually had input and they actually listened to the advice, then I wouldn't want him around. That's true. That is a good point. But to answer the question, no, I would not do that. I would not move Gerard Mayo upstairs like the Celtics did with Brad Stevens. 617-779-7937. We got all your feedback there. WEEI Afternoon. I think it's Arcandon Hart today, right?
Fully thumbs assembled, up. Thumbs up.
That's a shrug back there.
I don't know.
I believe it's Arcandon Hart for WEEI Afternoons.
We're getting a thumbs up. Yep, thumbs up in the back. Yeah, ball thumbs up.
All right, so stay tuned for that. They come your way at 2 o'clock. They'll have more of this discussion all day long. Gerard Mayo's job security. What do you do with Drake May tanking for the number one pick? All that good stuff. Billy Lanny with the latest in trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
I love playing two-hand touch. Eating way too much, watching my team win with the
grab bag.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time.
It's time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe. Stuff we couldn't get to the first 3.5 hours of the program. Celtics are in action tonight, Jones. They take on the Minnesota Timberwolves at 7:30 on TNT. And you're probably wondering, what about the first fan returns for the NBA All-Star voting?
I was.
I have them.
Do you?
Do you want to hear them?
I glanced at them quick, and then Shams, I think, deleted the tweet, so I actually couldn't read it.
Shams deleted it?
Yeah, well, I thought so. Maybe you saw the revised one.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, maybe
Jason Tatum, second in the Eastern Conference front court behind Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay, he should be ahead of Giannis, but whatever.
He should be, but he's not. He's also ahead of Karl-Anthony Towns, who is third. Jaylen Brown, fifth.
In the front court?
In the front court.
Wait, so it goes Giannis, Tatum, Towns, who?
Paolo Banchero.
Banchero.
I like him. He's having a really nice year.
He's not even playing.
He's out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, fifth.
He had a 50-point game and then got hurt, yeah.
He did have the 50-point burger. I was going to say, he was in grab bag. He had 50 points. Jaylen Brown, Jimmy Butler, Franz Wagner, Joel Embiid. Of course, Joel Embiid's on there.
Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah.
Paul George, Evan Mobley. Mobley actually has been good.
Yeah.
The Cavs have been good.
Okay, so but they have Jaylen in the front court. Okay. But yeah.
Yeah, so and I think it's because
two top five vote getters. Yeah. Are any guards in there for the Celtics?
The 10th place guard, Derek White.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is Derek White an all-star?
No.
I wouldn't think so either.
I don't think so.
But like, he should be getting like votes to get in, but he's not an all-star to me.
Yeah.
But Tatum and Brown are no-brainers.
LeBron James, third in the front court, and Steph Curry, third in the back court in the West.
So you're saying that is like a slap in the face.
Not a slap in the face.
A bit of a passing
of the torch, perhaps.
Okay.
Jokic, Durant, LeBron, and then Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka Doncic, Steph Curry.
Where's Edwards?
Oh, you know what they're also doing? Oh, Edwards is fifth
Okay.
behind Kyrie.
Hmm.
So they're doing something different this year where it's like all different. It's not East versus West.
No, they're chopping up the All-Stars.
Into four different teams?
Well, into three different teams. I think it's like 8 to 10 guys per team. I forget the number. It must be 8. And then the winner of the rookie sophomore showcase or whatever.
That's right. They
get also in there. So there will be 4 teams, 3 teams of All-Stars, and then 1 rookie sophomore team.
That's right. And I think Durant was like, this is stupid. They're like, Durant, like they asked Durant about it like a week ago. And he's like, they should just do East versus West.
I like the idea of the 3-point dunk much more than this. I like the idea of the golden at bat in baseball than this.
Way better.
This seems like they're trying to rip off the NHL All-Star format, which for like a year was cool and now sucks.
Don't do that.
So that sounds to me like what they're doing. I don't love
it
this
was
either.
Cool because John Scott was in there ripping off hat tricks. That's
true.
The only reason it was cool.
One year that was
there
cool.
There was. You had that.
And, you know, much like the Winter Classic, the NHL used to do things right.
It is similar.
But, I don't know about this playoff format, but I'd expect Tatum and Brown to be a part of it.
They'll be a part of it whether they like it or not. I don't know if Mazzulla, will he get it?
No. Right?
How's that work?
I thought it was the best record at the All-Star break.
Yeah, so but if there's 4 teams.
Oh, good point. Yeah, I don't know how that works. Good point.
What's the trickle-down effect?
Yeah, I don't know.
You need multiple coaches now?
I don't know the answer.
Did you like
that.
When the players drafted the teams?
No. I like East West.
You know what they could do now?
Call me old-fashioned. I like East West.
East West is nice.
Yeah.
A little north-south.
No. Reverse Paul Brown?
You know what they could do now? And I think the rosters would probably be pretty even, is USA versus the world.
Yep, you could do
that. The world's loaded.
Again, now you're dabbling in like NHL gimmicks that I don't really like. Give me American League, National League. Give me East-West. Like, that's
Wales,
what I want.
Campbell's.
Yeah.
Yeah, finally.
Exactly.
The world is a grab bag.
Well, that keeps went longer than I thought. Bruins in action tonight as well, taking on the Rangers. We talked to Andrew Raycroft earlier in the program, and he was citing, you know, Jeremy Swayman, don't look now, playing better. 7-2-1 in his last 10, he pointed that out, and really just one horrible outing. He did give up a snowman in one game.
Yeah, I wouldn't
he gave up a snowman.
Dismiss the snowman quite as quickly as Razor does, but I understand the point.
Yeah.
It was one really bad game, but in the rest he's played well, and so he's rounding into form to a degree.
Yeah.
The Rangers on the other side are a complete mess. Did I hear Milbury's? Is Shesterkin hurt? I know he's been terrible. So he's hurt, yes?
Yeah, okay. He has an upper body. They're healthy scratching, a Kreider. It's a mess.
And like for every bit as bad as Swayman's been with his new contract, Shesterkin's been just as bad, maybe worse. So, yeah, they're a disaster. I think they're the second worst team in the East ahead of only Buffalo. So it's a winnable game for the Bruins tonight. And, we'll see how they come out. Swayman's supposed to be first off the ice and in net tonight.
All right.
Grab bag.
College football playoff, Jones. It's the first year of the 12-team playoff, and the games have not been great. He had a double overtime thriller yesterday with Texas and Arizona State.
Yeah, the whole world fell in love with Scataboo there. They love the bowling ball running back at ASU. Yes.
They gave that guy the ball 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Where's he going to get drafted?
I don't know.
Too high.
I don't.
Probably
is he,
too high?
Is he like a draftable player? I don't even know.
I don't even know.
I like what I saw.
God, they gave him the ball like 40 times.
Yeah.
He just, but that was one of the, in fact, really only close game. Penn State blew out Boise State. Ohio State just blew out number one Oregon.
Yeah. About my wife, for those of you that don't know, my wife went to Oregon. And maybe every like 5 or 10 minutes last night, she would just say, I'm devastated by this, like over and over again. Like, I would think we would move on from that, and then, no, like, 10 minutes later, she's like, I just feel so terrible about this loss.
Circle right back to it.
I was like, I bet the Ducks, what do you want from me?
Now,
I couldn't believe they were underdog. I couldn't believe it. They had already beaten Ohio State. It was at Autzen. It was a close game.
Yeah, they should have lost
I couldn't
game,
believe
though.
They weren't favored. I'm like, this is stealing. I now get why Ohio State was favored. I now understand why Ohio State was favored in that game.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear to everybody. Yeah. No, but my question with them is, they were clearly going to have to face Ohio State at some point, and they were probably going to get smoked. But you saw it when they put the bracket out. They need to change how they do the seeding.
They do.
The Oregon,
in theory, giving it to a conference winner was smart. They shouldn't do that.
No. And like to say that Ohio State is whatever they are, the 8 seed?
Yeah, ridiculous.
So they're the 8 seed. So Oregon gets the number 1 seed. You get a bye. You get rewarded by playing clearly the best team to make it out of the first round. So that's kind of stupid. So you're going to get Texas versus Ohio State coming up on the 10th in one semifinal. And then Penn State gets the winner of today's Notre Dame, Georgia. Carson Beck out for the year.
Pick that.
Georgia.
Notre Dame.
Really?
Yeah. I like Notre Dame money line. Now, look, I also like the Ducks with the points last night, so what do I know? But I like Notre Dame money line
all
for
right.
this game.
Well,
you're right. The format needs to change. I wouldn't even change the amount of teams. I wouldn't go to 16 teams. People were crying about Alabama.
You don't like more teams?
People were crying about, well, I'm okay with more
16,
teams.
16, I think, is a sweet spot. I don't think you need buys.
I guess my point is I don't mind the bye week, but you can't hand it out to conference winners because Boise State and Arizona State should have played the opening weekend. That would have made for better matchups. And the fact that those teams got auto tickets to the next round is screwing the whole thing up. They need to make that adjustment and make it fast.
This is my
grab bag.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Saquon Barkley is 101 yards shy of Eric Dickerson's single-season NFL rushing record, but he's not going to play this weekend for the Eagles. They're sitting him down. What do you think of that decision?
I mean, I would probably play him and let him get the record, but I would also acknowledge that if he got the record, it's not really the record. He needed an extra game than Eric Dickerson.
Well, yeah, but at one point, the guys who played 16 games played more than the guys who played 14 games.
No, I understand, but like, I guess it would still have, in my mind, an asterisk next to it, so yeah. I get it. If he got his 2,000 yards in 16 games,
which is sick.
It's awesome. So yep. He's in that group. He's in that crowd of players.
Yeah.
But I would have probably always held it against him that he needed the extra game to pass Dickerson anyway. So sit him down, rest him up. You get your glorified bye week going into the playoffs.
It's also not 11 yards shy where you can play him
it's
on
101.
You still got to play like the whole game probably.
Right.
And no, it's probably the right call. Especially for like a running back who's had as many carries as he has had this year.
A million miles in wear and tear, and he did get dinged up a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I would go for the record. I'd acknowledge that I would probably still nitpick the record and go, yeah, you needed an extra game to catch Dickerson.
Resting
and
guys.
I guarantee you Eric Dickerson would be out crowing about it.
Resting guys is usually probably the right idea, although it was comical for years. The Colts would have this great record. They would sit Peyton Manning the last week, and then they'd lose in the playoffs.
Why? I don't really get the Chiefs doing it, to be honest.
Sitting Mahomes?
Yeah, well, you want your guys to sit for 2 weeks.
Oh, right. Yeah, they should maybe play a little bit. Play a half or something.
Philly's not getting a bye week.
No.
So it makes sense to me that Philly would say take a week to rest up.
That's a good point.
2 weeks to rest up, that's a lot.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Grab bag. Grab bag. Grab bag. Grab bag.
Pro Bowl rosters are out. Now, the Pro Bowl is not what it once was, Jones. This isn't your older brother's Pro Bowl. This is more like just actual grab ass. But,
yeah, it's field day. It's NFL field day
point.
Is what it
so
is.
So it's glorified field day.
Tug of war.
Yeah.
You know. Tag,
but I do,
whatever they play.
Overall, I do think it matters insofar as when we compare players, we always say, well, how many Pro Bowls did he make? How many All-Pros? Yeah. How many MVPs?
Accolades.
That kind of crap.
Accolades
I
matter.
Like all that stuff.
I do too.
The Patriots, one Pro Bowler. Despite the league's worst record, they do have one Pro Bowler.
What? It must be Christian Gonzalez.
It is not.
Huh.
He actually responded. Actually, he didn't respond. He just simply tweeted after the rosters came out, his favorite emoji.
Yeah.
Cry face.
Yeah, he told us that many weeks ago.
So he did not make the
cut. In our man-to-man coverage, he did not make the cut. So who is it?
Brandon Schooler, special team ace. It's Brandon Schooler.
So the NFL, every team gets a Pro Bowl. They do that like Major League Baseball?
No,
every team gets
I don't
one?
Think you have to.
Well, they
I think there were four teams that didn't. The Dolphins didn't.
They jammed Brandon Schooler into this
Schooler.
Game.
They're like,
why?
Anybody on teams? Like, what do you got for teams?
They're like, imagine the Patriots without Brandon Schooler, how bad their special teams would be.
You know what's amazing is Patrick Mahomes, not a Pro Bowler, and yet didn't deserve to be.
No, like not even close.
No.
Like, I saw that headline. I'm like, wow, Mahomes left out of the Pro Bowl. Then you look at it, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, all those guys deserve to be in over Mahomes. Like not even close.
NFC quarterbacks were Jaden Daniels, Sam Darnold, and Jared Goff.
Yeah, so your guy Baker.
Yeah,
your guy Baker has a better gripe about getting left out than Mahomes.
But they'll all get in because, I mean, Drake May will probably be a Pro Bowler when it's all said and done. You think Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar are going to go to these games?
No. Well, no, and one of those guys is probably going to be in the Super Bowl. So, maybe not. Maybe Allen.
Maybe not.
Actually,
might
we talking
be Mahomes.
Probably
it,
not, actually.
It won't be Burrow. I'll tell you that right now.
No, I take that back, actually. It won't be any of them.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Grab bag.
Another fun Pro Bowl stat, in the Baltimore Ravens' 29-year history, they just had their first wide receiver named to the Pro Bowl. BC great Zay Flowers.
That's wild. I don't even think he had that good of a year.
They never throw the ball.
No.
Like, in the history of that team, I feel like they would just hand the ball off to Jamal Lewis or Ray Rice.
We were talking about this off the air. They did have some good receivers, though.
Yeah, a little bit older.
Pro Bowlers, just not during their time in Baltimore.
Yeah, Steve Smith, Anquan Boldin, two that jumped to mind, were really good. I wonder, was Derek Mason ever a Pro Bowler?
I was
going to
say, I bet Derek Mason snuck into a Pro Bowl, but obviously not in Baltimore.
Not with Baltimore.
Zay Flowers is a Pro Bowler with four touchdowns.
Torrey Smith.
Four touchdowns. Yeah, he made it over Brian Thomas.
Derek Mason, two-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro.
Derek Mason, one-time All-Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shut up, Mason, would you?
Shut up,
one of the greatest,
Mason.
One of the great cuts
now,
ever.
Now, was he a pro? I'm looking at the numbers that you, maybe he was a Pro Bowler as a special teams.
Maybe. Why?
Because he had 895 yards and five touchdowns. He was first team All-Pro.
Those were some big touchdowns.
That must have been a kick returner.
First team All-Pro with
yeah,
that?
That must have been a returner.
Yeah, yeah. No, which I didn't realize that. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Right about now, the funk soul.
Grab bag.
Let's take a look at the top NBA performers from last night. Jones, we got a few choices here.
This is one that Fitzy and I missed when we were doing grab bag. We did not get to top NBA players of the night.
You didn't get to do this one?
No, we didn't. We did random baseball player.
Why'd you guys sleep on that?
We slept on it.
Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star.
Scotty Barnes, 33 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists for the Raptors. Nikola Jokic, 23, 17, and 15. Karl-Anthony Towns, 31 points, 21 rebounds for the Knicks. De'Aaron Fox at a 35-3-4, and Trae Young went for 30 with 9 assists. You're going to go with?
I guess Jokic.
Scotty Barnes.
No.
He's going to be all-star.
I'd go Jokic.
Sleeping on Scotty Barnes.
That's a monster triple-double. I'd go Jokic.
It's basically like his averages for the season. That's the guy's killing it.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, first random player of 2025. Let's go with a shortstop.
Okay.
Could be an easy one. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to lead the witness here. 15-year major league career as a shortstop with the Indians, Tigers, and Cardinals.
Okay, so it's not Omar Vizquel, but that's what immediately popped to my
head. Nope, it's not Omar Vizquel. He is a 3-time All-Star.
Okay.
Look out. And had a career high with 24 bombs.
Wow.
He played from, 2003 to 2017. More of a recent ball player. Did not take part in 90s baseball, which is our sweet spot.
So he started with Cleveland and then went to Detroit?
Started with Cleveland, then went to Detroit, then ended his career in St. Louis. He was an all-star. You know, it's funny. I remember him more with Cleveland, but he was a 2-time all-star in Detroit and a 1-time all-star in St. Louis.
Shortstop. Oh.
Also was 14th in the MVP in 2014, if that helps.
This is going to
He would not steal you a bag.
No?
He was just
socking you dingers?
He was a thick shortstop.
Oh, this is... The Twitch chat has it. Does the text line have it? This is actually not who I was thinking of, but I saw the name in the Twitch chat. It's definitely it. There's multiple people guessing it.
Yeah.
Including Joey Tomatoes, the fat bowler.
Joey Tomatoes.
Dubs 985, Johnny Peralta.
He got it!
That's a J-H-O-N-N-Y.
Yes.
Jahani Peralta.
Wow, yeah. He's a 3-time All-Star.
Isn't that insane?
Yes.
He was a beefy middle infielder.
He was thick. I can't imagine the range metrics were very friendly to his defensive game. That's true.
No, 0-time Gold Glove winner, but he'd smack at 20 dongs. Like, he wasn't bad. No. Fantasy baseball.
And like you said, not going to swipe you a bag.
Not at all.
But he'd make up for that. Yeah. Tell me if this is a random enough baseball player for your criteria.
Okay.
I went with Otis Nixon when we were in.
Not bad.
Not bad?
No, I'll allow it.
That's not a compliment.
I feel
not
like,
bad is not a compliment.
I try to stay away from anybody that ever even
played for the
Sox.
Yeah.
Because those ones usually go pretty quick.
Yeah, it was a lot of people got it right.
But he had a big list. It was a decent amount of teams.
There were so many teams. I was kind of hoping that would throw people off, but it was maybe the most guessed one we've had.
Yeah.
So it's not an easy game Keith plays over there. It's hard to
know. No.
Like Johnny Peralta.
Although I do believe I've repeated one. I got a text. I think I've used the same player twice.
Yeah. I think you did Raul Ibanez twice.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, we did?
Yeah, we did Raul Abadios twice.
What are you going to do?
But still exciting to get it, though.
Stumped me both times. That's all I know. There you go. It's a random baseball player of the day, each and every day, in the grab bag here on Jones and Keith. Stay tuned. We'll see what's going on with WEEI Afternoons. It is Arcan. It is Hart. And we have our clip du jour next.
I'm going to foul on my face all day, Coach.
Oh, you, Mason. Just you, will ya? Why don't we talk after the game, all right? Just shut the up. Can you look at the scoreboard?
Anytime we mention Derek Mason, that's all I can think about.
And he just laughs at his face.
A two-time Pro Bowler and a one-time All-Pro, Bill.
I like that.
Yeah.
Derek Mason.
In your face. That's the name of his boat.
Mm-hmm. Two-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro. It's a long title of a boat, but hey.
It's wordy, but it's not taken. I bet it's not taken.
No, it's pretty solid. Jones, you ready for the clip du jour?
I what's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. Ah. And today, it was my response to Dietrich Wise calling out the fans. Now, Dietrich Wise may join us tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if he does, we'll
say it to his face, Keith.
Say it to him over the phone.
Say it to his ear.
So he was mad at the fans for booing, and here was our response.
He says, with all respect to Patriot Nation, this is a friend of the show, Dietrich Wise.
I know.
They're a little spoiled. We don't appreciate the boos. We don't appreciate the outburst against Mayo. If you're a fan, be a fan with us through thick and thin.
So, okay. This really bothers me. And I like Dietrich Wise, a friend of the show, as you said.
Yes, 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 yes.
This drives me nuts because if you only cheer,
get that out of there.
If you only cheer, I don't think you're a fan.
No, you're a Cardinals fan.
You're a St. Louis Cardinals fan. Seriously. Yeah.
Loser fan.
I think, you got to be with us the whole time. That is the booing. Those people are there in the seats. They're spending their money, their time to go see you play, and you're horrible. Your team stinks. You're the worst team in the NFL. If you can't boo that, then you can't boo anything. Now, there's a whole different thing when you're talking about, crossing the line and saying certain things. But fire Mayo and booing, that's all we're talking about here. That's all that happened. That is so on board. It's not even funny. That makes you a good fan base, in my opinion. People always talk about Boston, New York, Philly. You can hate them, you can love them, whatever. But those fans care. They give a rat's ass. If they didn't care, so I guess Dietrich Wise and other players would just prefer, an empty stadium? Mm-hmm. An empty, quiet stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a good fan base
there. Yeah, if you want no one chanting Fire Mayo and you want no one booing.
Play better.
Yeah, well, then but then don't let anybody in.
Right. Could turn ugly on this weekend.
It could.
It's weird, though. I think the fans are going to be really confused because you want a loss.
You should listen to Dietrich Wise and really just...
You sit on your hands.
Cheer everything. Terrible plays.
Everything.
Cheer it all. Pick. Yeah, go way over the
number
top.
Number one pick on the line.
Kill them with kindness.
It's a weird spot to be in.
Yeah.
Because you want them to lose, but then if they play really bad, you're going to boo that too.
I don't know.
It's a mess. They've created this mess for themselves, though.
Andy Hart has been polling Patriots fans. Yeah, I heard what it sounded like, and that's what I meant. Yes.
I do a lot of polling.
A couple of different questions. God. A couple of them. One was about Mayo being back, which was 91% landslide. Nobody wants him back.
Which was a record in my polling experience.
The other, but this one gave it a run, right? Did this one pass it? How many fans wanted the number one pick?
93% want the number one. And this is a fan base that as of a year ago at this time, tanking was abhorrent.
Yep.
I had to listen to Mike Lombardi tell, they would never do that. Hell, I mean, Elliot Wolf was kind of saying it to start the year to Andrew Callahan, the Boston Herald. We would never disrespect the game. And now every fan is
please lose.
We need that pick. Yes. We need to trade down and get assets.
Yes, we do.
And that's the funny part is, they're not even seeking...
For a player.
LeBron James, right. Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning. They want this mythical trade. Yeah, they don't even know what they're getting.
Correct.
And they all want to lose. And I'm with them. Don't get me wrong. I don't know anybody who's not in that boat except tomorrow. We will do our weekly Friday afternoon chat with Mike Giardi, who is hardcore anti-losing.
Really? Thinks
everybody who wants to do that is a born loser, bred loser, lifelong loser. I was like, no, we want to be winners again. And
if
that's
they can
how
win on
there.
Sunday, though, they can catapult themselves and the contendership.
Makes no sense.
Big time momentum.
And so I was thinking about this, trying to compare it to anything in my life. And stupid.
When you bought that Bumble, that 15-foot high
and
Bumble.
And I still haven't heard back on the refund.
You're not
me getting
back.
My money back.
Man.
And then just a quick addendum. Okay. I ordered one of your things, Funko Pop.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah, except I ordered a Bumble and it didn't come. They sent me Star Wars.
Ooh, I'll take it.
And I sent them an email on the 19th.
You sent Funko to
Crickets.
Email?
Nothing.
Man.
No customer service.
How about that?
You're shadow banned from complaining.
What Destiny,
Star Wars guide you get?
I didn't open it because I don't want it. If they let me keep it, it's yours.
Thank you.
It's four miniatures in a Christmas tree box.
Wow.
Yeah. Unless I could sell it.
Save it for next year's Christmas.
But yeah, have you ever done like a 5K?
Yes.
And you finish.
Yeah, humble brag, yes.
Like it takes you, 30 minutes, 28 minutes, whatever.
Much faster, but yes.
But most of us sprint toward the finish line, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For no reason.
Really?
Yeah.
For literally no reason.
Well, just shave a couple seconds, yeah.
Right, but it.
Yeah. There's a good reason.
Does anybody look at your time? No. And that's what this is kind of like. We're going to sprint to the finish line when it makes no sense. There's no value in it. And in a 5K.
Well, Van Pelt talked about starting the season fast, maybe end the season fast.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's a certain symmetry to that. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess.
And then you pick fourth, and you are going to be losers for 3 years. I'd rather lose one game on one Sunday.
Three plus three. That's six. So then,
yeah.
It's a lot of losing.
I saw I didn't realize Giardi was so gung ho about winning the game, but
he called me a loser when I was on the radio the other day.
He's adamant about playing May. I know that. I've seen that on social media.
Yeah,
he's adamant about
playing May too until they pull Josh Allen, and then I'm pulling my quarterback.
Yeah, that's so. I've come around on that during this show. I came in today and I was like, I wouldn't play him.
No, play him. That's
give him a few series and get him out. That's probably the right approach.
I hate the you're afraid to get people hurt. But I also equally hate Bill Belichick on his hypocritical high horse telling me, I would never separate my players into categories.
How did we ever do that?
People do it all the time.
Yeah.
The NFL treats everybody. Yeah. Bill did. Brady Bill would start the game and leave early and then have Castle throw it into the stands, even if Castle denies he ever threw it into the stands.
No.
I don't believe you.
We saw it.
Okay, so a lot of that on the show. Is it all Patriots today? You got some Celtics, Bruins, anything else?
Yeah. We'll break it up a little bit. A little Celtics, a little Bruins.
Nice.
A little college football, too.
Has...
Scataboo.
Scataboo. Has not gone well. I hate him. Yeah, you're not a Scataboo guy. That shocks me. Yeah.
Why? Because he's thick and white? Like, supposedly he's my guy?
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean,
if they're thick and white, Andy Hot loves them.
Checks both boxes. That is your... Yeah. You have a type, yes. Okay, well, stay tuned. You got more WEEI Afternoons. You got Arcan. You got Hart. And you got us tomorrow at 10 for a Patriots Friday, maybe, with Alex Van Pelt. We'll talk to you then.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.